check it out one time.
Great morning, Troop Nation. Welcome to Truth in the Morning on the award-winning 101.7 FM, The Truth. We're broadcasting live from the American Family Insurance Studio in the heart of downtown at The Avenue. I'm the legendary Home of Blow, along with my brother,
MC Dame Elsie in the building.
Shout out to our girl, Bailey Coleman. If you were supposed to be at work at 8 a.m., you're late.
We're not going to do it today, Will.
You're late.
We're not going to do it today.
You late.
I'm not even finna say nothing.
Thank you. Now, let y'all know y'all late, because he ain't saying nothing. That's all I'm saying. Thank you.
Y'all know how I feel.
Conceding is a great thing.
I'm not conceding. I ain't saying you were.
I'm just saying conceding is a great thing.
I just know how I feel.
Yeah, I know.
I've stated it.
Yeah. You got a late feeling.
And there you go.
There you go.
It ain't late. See, you're going to make me start. We're going to be talking about it for 12 minutes.
You know, no. There's so much other stuff. Nurse Arian Kawanda said, it is 8 o'clock. If you are scheduled to be at work and you are not there, don't listen to Bailey and or Dame, who is ever on today. They give you grace. Your job won't. You're late.
Arian Kawanda got that copied and pasted. She just got it somewhere saved so she can put that right there. Because she's like, whoever's on, whether it's Bailey or Dame, y'all late. No. Mm-mm. All right.
Yeah.
Bailey, I feel you.
Yeah. Okay. Y'all go.
Fist bump.
You'll make people lose their job.
Obama fist bump.
All right. The violence, you know, okay.
There we go.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go with the violence that's happening and then try to get into this all hands on deck push to reduce youth gun violence. Because, again, we are dealing with homicides and shootings that took place over the weekend, and we keep hearing young ages, you know. So we have a 18-year-old that was shot and killed, and the neighbors around this particular situation said that this has been a troubled house for a while.
Where was the house?
So an 18-year-old man was killed in a shooting near 62nd and Harrison in Milwaukee, with neighbors highlighting ongoing issues at the house involved. They were expressing their frustration over repeated criminal activity at the house involved. Doorbell surveillance footage captured the incident, showing someone firing multiple shots just after 1 a.m., Will, I do believe we should have a clip for that shooting. If not, we'll try to get one up. It's on WISN 12. And the headline, Milwaukee neighbors call for change after fatal shooting near troubled house. I believe it's one of their lead stories, as a matter of fact. But Amy Miller, who is a resident in the area, said the sound of gunfire was not new to the block. We came downstairs and I didn't know if it was real or fake, Miller said. Miller recalled another shooting on St. Patrick's Day in 2023 when her backyard cameras recorded someone running into an alley and firing from the back of the same house involved in this weekend's shooting. And it was actually during the day when it was that one. Like, this shooting, though, Dame, it is so terrifying.
That's Southside.
Man, I know. Yeah. It is so terrifying, bruh. Like, I just say, you know, prepare yourselves if we get the clip. Because when they show it, as a matter of fact, I have done a screen record on it. And I'll just, you know, end up adding that into our group email there. And it is scary. It is scary to know that this actually happened. This was actually a thing. So I'm putting it to...
You know what happens with these houses that I've learned?
What's that?
Is that the parents, or whomever the parent is, lives in the house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these teenagers, they take over the house. And if one teenager brings all their friends over, and next thing you know, they've taken over the house, right? The parent or whomever, the elderly person, sometimes it's older people, sometimes it's a regular parent. They become so frightened of the teen and their friends that they move out.
Mm. Wow.
And I've heard of, you know, I deal with the kids, right?
Right, so I've heard of
these situations. The parent moves out. So a lot of times, parents, y'all need to know, if they say they going over Billy and them house, y'all need to make sure that Billy mama is still present.
That's parenting.
Yeah.
Finding out who's there. You feel what I'm saying? Like I say, we got situations, man, where, and I even get and understand the latchkey kid part of things, mm-hmm. too. But it was still responsible parents.
Yeah.
And if you didn't follow what rules or regulations that they put down for you, it was going to be trouble. And you were going to learn that day that this, and what we can't do again, what we cannot afford to do again, is that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have some of the PWKs, people with kids, in my opinion, you are going to have people that are somewhat condoning the behavior of their youth. So let's just say they don't move out. They just cuss them out and be like, well, just make sure you bring me something black, or you give me some money. Give me some money. I know you got some money and this, that, and the other type situation.
Mm-hmm.
So which creates the craziness, in my opinion, of these situations. And yeah, so Will, I don't know if you were you able to pick that up. So Dane, just pay attention to this rapid gunfire that took
our
place.
That unbelievable video of gunfire ringing out on a Milwaukee street.
Made you turn your head.
That's the sound of bullets flying near 62nd and Harrison Avenue early Saturday morning. It's where police say an 18-year-old man died. 12 News' TJ Dysart has the surveillance video and why neighbors say the house at the center of police's investigation has long been a problem.
A barrage of gunfire just after 1 Saturday morning. All caught on doorbell surveillance camera. The video shows someone firing several shots near 62nd and Harrison. Police say it's where an 18-year-old man died.
We came downstairs and I didn't know if it was real or fake.
Amy Miller says it's a sound she's heard on the block before.
It was actually during the day.
St. Patrick's Day 2023. Her backyard camera's capturing another shooting. This time, someone runs into the alley opening fire from the back of the same house at the center of this weekend's shooting. Three years later, the bullet holes still cover her garage door.
We're going to make sure to ensure that we are able to support you through this and restore you back to that sense of safety in your neighborhood.
Sunday, Alderman Peter Bergella, city officials, and police officers canvassed the neighborhood, speaking with residents.
So this is not isolated. This house is bringing this kind of crime into this neighborhood.
There is no support besides amongst ourselves.
Residents frustrated by criminal activity at the house saying they've contacted authorities before.
We've named the home. We've named the things that we're seeing, the license plates. We've done it all.
We have had experiences with the residents before.
Milwaukee Police District 6 Captain Timothy Leitsky says it's not the first time police have responded to the home.
It got real on Friday night. I hope this is the impetus for some change.
In Milwaukee, TJ Dysart, WISN 12 News.
That's WISN 12 News. That's where that clip is from. Dame was paying attention to something else, and then he heard that barrage of gunshots, and it forced him to have to look at his screen to be like, and I'm sure it's like, what the hell?
Yeah, that's from, and they said that's from 3 years ago, right?
No, that was last night. That was the 62nd in Harrison.
No, I think, but the video is from her camera.
Yeah, the other video when it was daylight.
Oh, that's from the camera 3 years ago.
Yeah, this one just happened. The 18-year-old just got killed.
Listen.
That's the gunfire you saw when it was nighttime outside. The daylight video showed somebody in the alley from 3 years ago,
and so,
in 2023.
And so 3 years ago, they had an issue with the house.
Yeah, they've been having issues.
And somebody complained, and for whatever reason, and I'm not going to put it at nobody's feet, but for whatever reason, nothing was done with this house.
Yeah,
right?
Which has continued to be a problem house. It's just that other shooting was 2023, but it didn't stop with the house being
escalated.
A problem house.
Now they got bigger guns.
Yes.
Now it's bigger stuff happening, right? So again, it's escalated. So there were signs of whatever was taking place, and now it's escalated. And what we have to deal with and understand is in the city of Milwaukee, there are always signs. There was an issue on 48th and Center where we have been telling people, please, we telling anybody that was listening, it's hot over here right now. People were calling the office. I'm hearing it. Like Bugalis's aide is hearing it on that house, been hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's hot right now. We telling whoever will listen, this is what's going to happen. Somebody's going to get killed over here. Something's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And now somebody has.
And then there was a big melee over there, right? And then it was all over the news. It was like, but we've been telling y'all, this lady that took this video, she's been telling somebody.
That's right.
The people in this neighborhood have been telling somebody.
Yep.
Somebody. And we are oftentimes in Milwaukee, we are too reactionary instead of proactive.
Yep.
And something should have been done about this house so that this doesn't happen. So all of my black people on the north side, y'all not alone. When y'all complain about houses and y'all be like, well, on the south side, no, it's happening over there too. They complaining about stuff and ain't nothing being done, right? So, but we just have more of these houses. And I know for a fact black people complain about these houses because they call us. They would call us and be like, we knew which houses it was. We knew what it was. And back then, Russ would go up to the house because we young black men, we don't care. We're going to go up to the house and we're going to holler at the people. What's going on? What's going on with this house that is disturbing this neighborhood and disturbing this good neighborhood? And then we find out what's going on. And then now it's like we're sending DNS. Y'all need to go over there and holler at them. We're sending people over. Y'all need to go over there and holler at them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because that 18-year-old was killed early Saturday morning on 62nd and Harrison. So that gunfire you just saw was from.
Yeah.
It resulted in the murder of an 18-year-old.
And the reason you do that is to prevent something like that happening. You be proactive. And I'm not saying Bugalis probably had been over to that house. He had been over to talk to the owner. You send letters to the owners. You send letters to, if they're renting it out, send letters to the landlord. You send letters to the company to get them to force something to happen before something like this happens. And now you can't turn back the hand of time. Somebody's lost their life.
Real talk.
And it could have been prevented because 3 years ago, like with any other sickness, this is a sickness, right? It's an illness in our neighborhoods. And with any type of sickness or illness, there's signs, right? When you have high blood pressure, there's signs. When you have something wrong with your heart, there are signs. When you have diabetes, there are signs before that eventual phase where something has to be done, right?
Mm-hmm.
There were signs.
Yep.
And the signs here was the lady had a video of somebody running out, letting off shots in the alley.
Absolutely.
And so that shows that may not even be the same tenants, but it shows that this landlord was not proactive and this landlord wasn't doing the things that needed to be done. Man, it could have been the dude on the south side that was renting out the houses to the drug dealers. Remember, that just came up the other week. We don't know, but I'm just saying. Proactivity is what needs to be done, and a lot of time it doesn't happen.
That part. You're listening to Truth in the Morning on the award-winning 101.7 FM, The Truth. What's your thoughts of after, and for those of you who couldn't see the video, if you're not on YouTube or Facebook to check it out, but you heard the barrage of gunfire that led to the death of an 18-year-old. What's your truth? What's your thoughts on this? We got to take care of these bills. We'll be black.
This is Truth in the Morning on 101.7 The Truth.
Truth Nation, welcome back. I'm just still just, you know, you hear about the switches, you hear about the Dracos and all of that. And then when adding these switches, of course, turned it into a fully automatic machine gun.
It's crazy.
And yeah, like this whole situation is crazy. On the YouTube page, RC Creation Muse said, life sentence. Stop playing with these people. Criminals. Tracy Hayes said it's switch. It was a switch. RC Creation Muse said, what other intentions would a person with a gun like that have?
There is nothing else.
Right.
What are you, there's not
death good. And mayhem.
That's war. That's a tool of war.
Yeah. And anybody, like literally the way that they are spraying with these weapons, man, anybody, that could be anybody. I saw and unfortunate, you know, I haven't seen it in the news as of yet, but it happened because these two young ladies that were on 42nd and Burleigh, they done a live where they showed all of the shell casings of, you know, the markers that they put down. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about, we almost lost our life tonight. We almost lost our life. But again, I'm going to send you the clip, Dame. But yeah, it is, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. It is crazy. And it ain't even summer yet, Dave.
It ain't summer yet.
It's not summer yet. So, like.
And it's sad that we have, as people have to, and we could say, is like we just saw in this clip, 62nd and Harrison is Southside.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't near Southside. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, it's white folks Southside. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying, y'all. This is a citywide problem. This is a national problem. Guns and the proliferation of guns. There's no reason for you to have that gun. There's no reason for that gun to be on sale.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason for anyone to be able to get that type of gun, because that gun is for war,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
You've made it an automatic, and that is something in Kosovo. That's, you know, that is
mm-hmm.
a Eastern Bloc gun that they are selling here. There's no reason for anyone to have. You don't need it for hunting. You don't need it to protect yourself. Who are you protecting yourself from?
That part.
What do you got going on that you need that type of protection? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I understand the gun rights and the gun lobbies and all of that stuff, but come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's just ridiculous. And we also have to take responsibility in that we are using these. People say, oh, you're using the gun. So it's not the gun, it's the user. Well, I feel you.
Mm-hmm.
But if the magazine didn't shoot out 100 bullets in a minute, then, and only shot once, and you had to pull the trigger again to shoot it again, then maybe some of them people would be alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you got somebody running down the street backwards, letting off shots like that.
Man, bro.
It's crazy.
It's just a terrifying sound to hear, just in general. And to, like, they were saying on the news clip from WISN 12, we didn't know if it was real or fake, because it was literally, like, for those who have been in wars or, you know what I'm saying, been in combat practice, that sounded like that could have gave them, you know, the shell shock and the PTSD that you're dealing with. And if you haven't been to a war and you hear something like that, that sounded terrible, bro. Like that.
Yeah, we all.
Because you don't know who all getting hit, because it was so many bullets that were let off. It was, when they say a hail of gunfire, like, that's all you saw. You saw the fire, the muzzle flash of all of those shots being fired, bruh.
Yeah, there's those corporations and that industry of weapons is billions of dollars, right? And mm-hmm. the lobby for them has access to those billions of dollars. And they spread it around. And they spread it around to all of our congressional people, all of our Senate people, anybody in power in the federal government that they can spread it around to, they do. And that's a hard lobby to fight against, is the gun lobby. And it shouldn't be. It shouldn't even be a question. Why do you need to have these types of weapons mm-hmm. inside of city limits? Why do you need to have these types of weapons outside of somebody that's doing some military contracting? Why? Mm-hmm. There's no reason you can explain to me.
Right.
That there's a reason why, because we've lived in Milwaukee. You and I, Homer, we lived in Milwaukee our whole
Absolutely.
Lives.
Absolutely.
We hear gunshots. We know gunshots. But that sound, that was different. That was a different doo 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 doo. That was different. When it sounds like somebody's knocking at your door, is that loud that you know, come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's different. And it's just the elevation of it, the proliferation of it, and these are the levels that we're going to reach unless there's something to be done. You know, I remember my man from the Journal Sentinel did a And I say that, you know, I don't really know the guy, but I'm just saying, my man did an article and he traced back one of the guns that was used here. One of the rifles come from a sister city in some Eastern Bloc city and stuff like that, and just traced it all back. Right. That's what we dealing with, is these guns coming here and people making so much money off of them. They don't care. They don't care who these guns hurt. They don't care who these guns kill. And at some point it's going to be like what they did with cigarettes and with tobacco, and how they went after the industry. No matter how strong the gun lobby is, at some point someone's going to go after the industry, and they're going to have a great case. And this, hopefully then things can change a little bit. But until that happens, they just making money hand over fist.
Man, that talk about terrifying. Just, man.
Yeah.
And that's why I said, even like before playing the clip, like, you know, prepare yourself, because this is.
That's real.
Yeah. And the reality is, this is happening throughout our city.
Yeah. Everywhere.
Throughout our city. When you see those shell markers, and sometimes it's so many of them, they have to start using actual orange cones to, you know, to mark all of the places to where they found a shell. Mm-hmm. And those are just the shells that they find, you know. Yeah. man, as much as I want summer, I don't know, man.
I want summer, and I want us to have a peaceful summer. And I think I'm hopeful that that can happen. I'm hopeful that a peaceful summer can take place in Milwaukee, and things can be different. All of those that are working in the violence prevention space have productive and prosperous summers, which means we have a safe summer.
Well, it brings up what, and I wanted to segue into it, and that's why I wanted to deal with that situation, but talk about a program, All Hands on Deck, which is a push to reduce youth gun violence. So we're going to take care of some bills, but it's city leaders and community groups are ramping up efforts to address youth gun violence after a recent spike in shootings. The initiative focuses on prevention programs, outreach, and community involvement, with officials stressing urgency, which is something that we need. So when we return from taking care of some bills, we're going to talk about that, the All Hands on Deck push to reduce youth gun violence. Although we know it's Toys R Us adults, it's adults committing it as well. But we have seen a rash of shootings. We've seen homicides, and we are hearing ages of 16, 15, 14, 13, 11, even like a 10-year-old. So it's crazy. We got to take care of some bills. You're listening to Truth in the Morning on the award-winning 101.7 FM, The Truth. We'll be black.
This is Truth in the Morning on 101.7 The Truth.
Truth Nation, welcome black. This is Truth in the Morning. I am the legendary Homa Blow, along with my brother, MC
Dame Elzy in the building.
Yes, sir. And Will, our producer, holding it down. Man, something different has to happen. Something different has to happen with all of this violence that is going on. And it's good to know that there is a new All Hands on Deck push to reduce youth gun violence that is being called upon by the Milwaukee Office of Community Wellness and Safety and Karen Tyler, the new director of that department. But I believe we got Al MKE before we end up going into this story. So we're going to talk to Al MKE. Hopefully he is feeling better and sounding better. Al MKE, great morning. Love you. Appreciate you. You hear the conversation. What's your truth?
My truth is this, because I live around it. Let them shoot and kill each other. There's nothing you can do for them kind. They don't give a damn. You don't give a damn. So let them shoot and kill each other, or let them move up north. Because the only thing they're going to do is, when they get 30 or 40 years old, and say, I'm saved and I found Christ. So let them go to Christ now, because nobody's going to come to the inner city and invest. And when you have problem houses like that, they probably got a whole lot of checks and disability come up in there. So you need to find out who's the slumlord that's renting. Let them shoot and kill each other. Because if you don't do it, the streets going to do it. And if you can't do nothing with the kids, goddamn it, let the street take them. One way or another, there's nothing you can do. Let them shoot and kill each other. Because we can't move forward with them pulling us back. Goodbye.
Thank you very much, Al MKE. Now, we do have a video clip, a news story from CBS 58, talking about the all hands on deck push to end youth gun violence. It continues after a stretch of shootings in Milwaukee. So we're going to have our producer, Will, play this clip and we'll talk about it.
Well, no doubt they'll be on to some good homes eventually.
Yeah, let's hope so for sure. They deserve it. Well, in just the past week, there have been at least five shootings involving kids and teens in Milwaukee.
Our Jacob Murphy joins us from the newsroom to tell us the work being done to make this summer less violent. Jacob.
Well, Natalie and Jessup, those shootings range from involving a two-month-old to an 18-year-old. What makes them stand out, though, is that we're seeing the young ages for both suspects and the victims. This problem does not change overnight, or maybe not even in time for summer, but work is actively being done.
Violence isn't part-time. Violence isn't like the seasons. Violence happens at the spur of the moment.
Violence in Milwaukee seems to be getting predictable. In the past week, an 18-year-old was shot and killed near 28th and Fond du Lac. A 9-year-old was shot near North 57th and Locust. A 2-month-old was injured in a double shooting near South 8th Street and West Arthur. And a 2-year-old accidentally shot themselves in a home near 35th and West Walnut. But what makes this stretch of violence different is that we're seeing kids also committing the violence. An 11-year-old shot at a city worker after trying to carjack him this week, then got into a car with two other teens that led police on a chase. And going back to April 14th, a 14-year-old is accused of shooting and killing a man in Milwaukee's Harbor District.
If somebody reaches out to us, if you're having issues with a youth, we can get ahead of it before it escalates.
Karen Tyler is the city's new community wellness and safety director and says with summer coming up, work is being done.
We're going into the summer, so we're meeting with a lot of our, what we call our CVI ecosystem, which is our community violence intervention ecosystem across the city, because we need all hands on deck with this.
Peace for Change is working with the city to create a mentor program, matching up five teens with mentors for the summer and then bringing back what they learned to the city.
That's what is needed, is bringing them to the table, you know, because they know what's needed to help curb the youth violence.
The program is a way to bridge the gap between old and young.
We have a lot of great ideas as adults, but we have to hear from the youth.
Tyler knows that connections have to be made.
I don't know if we need them to listen as much as we need to listen to them.
So that one day, the work will pay off and youth violence will go down.
If the investment is made, we can have a wonderful summer. It's on the leadership now.
Says they're already hearing from teens who are looking for ways to spend time in the summer and gather in places that are also positive but safe at the same time. Natalie, Jessup, back to you.
Well, Jacob.
All right, that's CBS 58 news clip. And Dame, one of the thoughts that I have when, you know, when I hear about these type of things and hearing Tracy Dent talk about the five youth and having pairing them with mentors, right? Will they be the ones that they need to get? That is always my issue. My issue is if you got the ones that are, okay, I did something, I learned from my mistake type thing. We need these ones that are out here actively involved in calling for teen takeovers, doing this and doing that, because if we're not reaching them, in my opinion, I don't think we're going to be able to start getting to some of the root causes of what, if anything, can be done to change their behavior patterns. It's like giving the, you know how they used to do in school? I know they used to do it for me. Like if you were some of the good grade children, then you got to facilitate some presentation that was going on in the auditorium or this, that, and the other. We're going to put our best ones forward. No, we don't need the best ones for it. We need the ones that are about this life, that are out here doing some of these things, and let them know, like, look, we're calling. This is not to try to turn you in. This is not to try to do that. But we need to find out what the hell is on y'all mind. Because if we're taking the ones that are already taking the stance and saying, hey, yes, we're going to do this peace march. Hey, yes, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. In my opinion, those, they need something to do too. Their ideas, I'm not saying their ideas are not important, because they absolutely are. They absolutely are. But we need to hear from some of the ones that already probably have, unfortunately, felony records.
And what they need to do is they need to connect with the court systems.
Yeah.
And I had, when I was working in the legislative assistance, I come up with a plan, and it may be already, you know, we just throw stuff out, and if we get time to do it, we do it. Other things come up, fires that need to put out, and stuff gets put down the totem pole of importance, and then it keeps getting pushed and getting pushed, and you may never do it. But one of the ideas was to create a mentoring program where you have from the city of Milwaukee or from the court system youth that are involved in this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in order to get some time off of their sentence or whatever it is, they get plugged with a mentor.
They
come to this mentoring group where we have these black men talking to them and this, that, and the other. But at the same time, you're getting what you're talking about.
Yes, sir.
Where these young boys can have their voices be heard.
That's right.
And so now we can develop from that, we can develop systems of change from those that are actually in the streets.
You better say it like Tweezy would say.
And if you're not getting the voices of those that are actually in the streets,
yes,
that are causing the issues, that are doing these things, that
are living
this life,
that's right,
then you're just getting speculation from a good kid. And I'm a proud proponent of good children, because that's what I raised.
Absolutely.
And I don't think that they should ever be left out the equation.
Never.
But in this situation, what we're trying to do is to get to those that are out here in these streets.
That's right.
So we have to listen to those that are out here in these streets.
And that's exactly where I'm at with it, Dane.
Yeah.
That's we have to do it that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, because we can hear from the youth that want somewhere to go, because they deserve to be able to go places. They deserve to be able to have, you know, fun and entertainment. I get it. I get it. And I've never been against it. But if we're utilizing them to tell us the mind of the people who are out here doing these shootings, the people who are out here robbing people, the people who are out here carjacking people, the people who are out here raping people, like, you know, you got to get into those minds, the criminal minds. That's where we're going to try to find out how we can try to transfer that energy into something positive from all of the negative things that are going on. And I think if we don't get to do it that way, we're just going to keep seeing this, because I've seen children that are doing better that are being rewarded because, yeah, they did this, but they ain't been about it in a long time. You know, good. Because we got plenty of those kind of spaces, in my opinion. I think we already got a lot of those spaces where we're talking to those youth that are saying, hey, and this is what we want.
Yep.
This is what we want. I don't think, in my opinion, that we're doing it with the ones that we really need to be doing it with. Some of those that are, like you said, that are on paper to get a reduced sentence or something, you know, make them eligible. We need to be hearing from them, because those are the ones, and that's why I always talk about the minority group. It's a minority group that may be acting a damn fool and doing a lot of these criminal things that are going on, but the majority, they ain't on that. Like the Running Rebels campaign, we ain't on that. But it's that minority group that is destroying it. Because one shooting like what we saw on 62nd and Harrison, that'll terrify anybody from wanting to come outside at night, during the day, or any other time. Be like, did you see that? Did you hear that?
Absolutely.
Did you witness the body they had to remove because somebody lost their life? And you're wondering why it wasn't more people. Because the way that he let off, or she, whoever did it, man, a lot of people could have got shot and killed with that.
And I'm looking for, I had this whole program, and I put it in my notes, and that's how long ago it was. It was called Black on Black Sessions, where the program consists of black men meeting up with black boys once a month. The meetings will serve as diversionary program. The location will be determined at a later date, but the preferably somewhere in the community, and a black man meet with these black boys. And you get those like you and I to donate our time to these positions. And I'm not, and I know there's programs out here that already do things like this, right? But I just feel like if we got the right people involved in it, and so then people like you and I, people like the county executive, people like the mayor come in once a month and they listen.
That's right.
To people who are actually in the streets.
Right.
They, and then the people that are actually in the streets get to see those
living that life. Yeah.
That are on the opposite spectrum of, on the opposite end of, those that are running companies, those that are doing things. And it's not a lot of time. You only come meet with us for an hour. Everybody got an hour a month, right? So it's not like I'm asking, I would be asking for everyone to donate a lot. Cause I know my brother Rennell talks about it a lot, and all of my, all of my other brothers that do mentor and talk about it a lot, how you know, it's a time commitment, right? And a lot of people don't have a time commitment. So how do you get it? Once a month, just come listen to them.
Yep. And Minister Kevin, before we get ready to take our break on YouTube, you say, even if you don't get the worst ones, preventing others from becoming those kind of individuals is still a win. But we, what I'm saying, Minister Kevin, is we got a lot of that already.
Yeah, we got.
We got a lot of wins. We got a lot of wins. We got a lot of ones. And that's where I'm going. So, but we got to get them ones that's that minority group that are saying, to hell with all of this, to hell with y'all program, to hell with what y'all saying here. We're going to give this to you for you to do here. They don't care about that. They want to do it their way, and they're not looking,
and we know
at doing
who they
it
are
in a safe way. So,
and we know who they are, because like in Baltimore, the well, we've always talked about how they've been successful in lowering their crime is they know who those people are,
absolutely.
And they told them, either you're gonna get down,
that's right,
or you're gonna lay down. And
that's
in this
it.
Case, lay down means we're gonna put you away.
That's right.
So we're gonna give you every chance to get your stuff together. And a program like this is that chance to get your stuff together. Something that they do in Oakland to lower crime, except in Oakland they give them stipends. But we have to find more creative ways to reaching our youth than just locking them away. Now, that eventually is going to happen, right?
Right,
But if they don't choose the
alternative, which is a more positive alternative.
You got the red pill, you got the blue pill.
Which one you going to do?
Yep.
You're listening to Truth in the Morning on the award-winning 101.7 FM. The Truth will be black.
This is Truth in the Morning on 101.7 The Truth.
Truth Nation, welcome back. I'm the legendary Homer Blow, along with my brother
MC Dame Elzy in the building.
Yeah, man. So, I'm not against, you know, putting everything out there. But like I say, for a lot of these youth that may have made some mistakes, you know, we've got programs that are working with them. We've got shining examples. Like I say, Running Rebels, you know, they do a great job. There's other places that do great jobs with making sure that we're reaching those that may have made some mistakes. Because, again, nobody is perfect. Period. Nobody is perfect. We all make mistakes, some greater than others, but it's still a mistake. And you can learn from that mistake, or you can be doomed to continue to repeat the same mistake over and over again. Right. So we're saying, if we end up, you know, saying, hey, look, we know what you've done is very egregious. What you've done got some families crying, you know. But so what is going on? Like, what programs don't we have that you could have taken advantage of? Or what is the program that you think wasn't available for you? So we can guide you to those programs and find out how we can reach some of the other people who just feel like they a demon, they hopeless, don't nobody love me, my mama on drugs, my daddy, I don't know him, this, that, and the other. Whatever the case may be that has you so angry and so just frustrated to feel that nobody loves you but the gang that you join, or this, that, and the other. You know, so we need to find out those things and see if these people are willing to do what it takes to become a productive citizen. Thanks. Now, if you don't want to become a productive citizen, oh, we got places for you.
We got stuff for that.
You know what I'm saying?
We just hand you to the White House. That's what they want to do to you anyway.
Man.
So we're trying to protect you from that. You know what
but
I'm saying?
You got to help us to help you. to sit and when you get into these conversations and when you have a chance for your voice to be heard, when you feel like your voice isn't being heard, again, when we say, well, what is it? I don't know, but we need something. That don't help.
Yeah.
That don't help.
And we know, again, we know who these offenders are. We know where they live. We know where they hang out at. It's about reaching them, right? And so once they get in the system, you got them now, right? Maybe they got a bracelet on now or anklet on or they got probation that first time that they've committed offense. Well, this is the time you want to have them in diversionary programs like what I'm talking about. And this program will have an administrator, and that administrator will keep up on those in participation are not going to have to keep up with the little boy. They're going to meet with them that once a month, and then that administrator is going to, that's their job. They're going to go to these little boys' schools. They're going to go to their houses. They're going to deal with them and try to find them jobs and do things like that and see how that works, right? And see what happens. But on the same end of it, you get those policymakers, those alder people, those county supervisors, those legislators that make these laws and do things. They get to hear straight from the kids what the kids are saying they need, right? And so if the kids are saying, look, if I had this, if I had that, maybe I wouldn't, if we need this, we need that, this is what my people are saying. And they representing that, right? So now you go and you make policy and you create things that are coming directly from the, too many times is that separation. We telling them what they need to do. We telling them what they should be doing. I get that. But sometimes we have to listen and hear what they want and what they need, and then we can meet somewhere in the middle.
Absolutely. And that's just powerful, powerful points. Minister Kevin said, just thinking about on 32nd in Wisconsin last week, and 11-year-old was possibly the shooter. Yeah.
Absolutely.
He also said, Homer, we're on the same page. That's exactly what my prayer will be about at 1 on the Tory Lowe show. Mr. 414 Milwaukee said, I got an alternative. Be a parent. That'll work versus kids going to jail. Well, you know, parents are, in my opinion, parents are parenting. It's the ones that I don't give the title and respect of a parent that I have given the PWK, people with kids. Those are the ones that we're fighting with most of the times, in my opinion, that are just not being parents. They're trying to be friends with them. They're getting high with them. Mm-hmm. They're accepting their spoils. All of that. They accepting all of that. They accepting all of that. And they can tell them, yeah, I be black. Where you going? Just don't be out all night like you normally do. Like, that should not be a statement that should be coming from their mouth. Mm-hmm. They should be more concerned. And like I say, if you are, and it's easy to go from being a parent to becoming a PWK in my eyes. And that's all I'm saying.
You so give up.
Yeah.
I can't do nothing about this. I got all these other kids. I can't be worried about this dude no more.
Right.
I can't be worried about Old Dog and Kane no more. I got all these other kids I got to worry about. So you just got to get out of here. And
man.
So you just give them to the streets. And now they in the streets doing whatever they were going to be doing. And I understand that. You like, I got these other kids. It's like a teacher in the classroom.
Right.
I can't spend all my time trying to discipline this one kid and then everybody else loses out.
Right.
But I'm of the mind that you can't give up on that one kid. Now, and that's where a program like we're talking about
absolutely
comes in, where you have someone that's trying to parent and trying to do it. And it's the village that we always talk about. Homer, you got a commercial running right now to talk about the village, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tory Lowe talking about the village. He picked up on it, talking about the village. This is a part of being that village. Programs like this, and there are a ton of programs like this, but we have to have these programs that are focused on those that are doing this type of activity.
Yeah.
Those that are still in the cars, those that are shooting up in alleys, that got these big guns and stuff like that. Something that we can try to reach them, because by the time they get 16 or 17, I hate to say it, it's too late.
That part, bro.
And that's what I've learned, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not giving up, but I'm just saying that they're going to have to see the inside of somebody's prison.
Yes.
Before.
Yep.
But if you get them between 8 and 13 and 14, when they still have that youth about them and they still have those dreams present in them,
mm-hmm.
you could change the world.
That part. Well, Dame, show is coming to a close.
Great show.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to give a shout out. The countdown is continuing to be real, although I started it last year at the end of that birthday party. The 32nd annual Home Blow birthday party for the kids is coming up Saturday, June 27th at the Fitzsimmons Boys and Girls Club in Metcalf School at 3400 West North Avenue on the corner of 34th and North. It's free for everyone. Children 2 to 13 years old is who the party is based around. And I want to give a shout out to, and I got the shirt on today, but they're doing all kind of things. Bader Philanthropies, Inc. That's my presenting sponsor for this year. And I've got some platinum sponsors. I've got the Office of Early Childhood Initiative, Mighty Small Moments. Shout out to Dia Wright. Shout out to Brewers Community Foundation, Cecilia Gore. And at Bader Philanthropies, Tamara Hogan's, thank you very much. Also, we've got Spectrum and we've got West Care Wisconsin that are platinum sponsors. I'll talk about other gold sponsors after that.
Real quick, shout out to the family of Munir, the artist, the well-known artist from Milwaukee who passed away this weekend.
I'll let you lead that closing out.
Yeah, shout out to Munir and rest in peace, brother. And condolences to his family.